Hey everybody, welcome to July's episode of SQL Unplugged. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me is Rohan Kumar. Rohan, how are you doing?
Good, Scott, how are you?
Good. We have a lot to talk about. This is your opportunity to ask questions, so feel free to ask us any questions and we'll get to your questions. Don't be shy. But we have plenty to talk about. SQL 17, SQL Data Warehouse, all great stuff. But let's start with what is going on with this Postgres and MySQL is a first-party database stuff, because we've heard so much about this, and all of a sudden, poof, just taken off. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this was the announcement that we made at Build for supporting MySQL and Postgres databases natively as PaaS services in Azure. And there's, you know, it's interesting. Like, a lot of people have the reaction, you know, like Microsoft doing this. And the story is actually pretty simple, right? Yeah. And it's really about, you know, when we sort of spoke about why we went for doing Linux, and it's in some sense the same thing. It's about choice. Now, yep. You need to sort of step back and look at, you know, we've done a fairly detailed analysis of like the ecosystems that we play in. When you think about just applications and data platforms, right? So you have, you know, you obviously have your SQL Server, .NET, Windows, and now, you know, we're trying to enter the Linux space, and then we have done work with like lots of other client languages like Java, Node, PHP. But then there is a very distinct set of developers, you know, like you can brand them like the OSS developers, the OSS community, which is very powerful, very strong, growing, and who've made significant bets on both MySQL and Postgres. And in a lot of cases, you know, what we see is it's not even about the database, it's really about the ORM or the client stack that essentially pulls in, you know, the database, which is standard. So it's really, you know, when you think about Azure as the place where we really want it to be an open public cloud for everyone, right? So when you think about that, it's really enabling the choice of developers who've chosen to be with. I mean, we don't want to force them and say, no, you need to, the only way you take advantage is by, you know, betting your farm on SQL Server. That's just not the way it is. And so once we made the call of saying, hey, we want to support Postgres and MySQL very natively, then the question essentially became, how do we do it? And this is where I think some of the learnings that we had of making SQL Server into a PaaS service with Azure
sort of
SQL
made
database.
That an obvious choice.
Absolutely, right? So think about the service infrastructure that we'd built essentially came in, you know, it was built in the way in which you could sort of put in other database engines. And that's how we brought it to market, and you're right. I mean, the response has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, sort of like, I mean, is this just taking off like a wildfire and just a huge, I mean, what's the feedback here?
I mean, it's interesting. It's, you know, like without sharing a lot of the numbers, which are confidential, but yeah, I mean, we have the growth that we've seen just in terms of the normalized usage or the number of unique customers that are coming to Azure because of this, that's actually been pretty phenomenal.
Right.
You know, and it's also, there's a lot of skeptics who've never thought that we would do, you know, a lot of people tried it out thinking, hey, is this just like, are you serious about it? You know, are you like, and they're very pleasantly surprised. I mean, some of the comments that, you know, we saw on Hacker News as an example, where people are like, wow, this is good stuff.
I can imagine a lot of the people's thought was like, what are they doing? Right, and then are they serious about this?
Yes.
And then they start playing with it and going, yeah, they're serious.
Absolutely. No, I think, and it's a great start, you know, and you'd see like where, you know, the principles that we have are very clear on this one. We're going to make it, you know, drop-in compatible. There's absolutely no even thinking around vendor lock-in. So if at any time, you know, our customers want to take their app out of Azure and go somewhere else, it's just a Postgres or MySQL app. There's nothing that's going to tie them, you know. Obviously, you know, the other big thing is we are going to be a very active participant in the community.
Yep.
This is one of the things that's very, very important to us. It's not just about us, you know, taking this and hosting it, but we really want to work with the community to see how we can help and participate and advance the cause, if you will.
Well, and this goes back to the whole, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole, we will come to you with our...
Absolutely.
Right?
It's really, I mean, it's about customer choice.
Yeah, customer
choice. And I think we're taking it very, very seriously right now in Azure. So,
excited
about that.
And that's awesome. So, I mean, what's, we can't talk too much roadmap, but I mean, we've got, what do we see down the horizon a little if we can with, you know?
Absolutely, I mean, the next logical step, right, we've made a public preview, you'd see, you know, we're working obviously on the premium offer.
Yep.
And, you know, which is going to be a lot more performance optimized, you know, like SSDs, et cetera, if you will. And there's, you know, we're reacting to it, we're getting like tons of very good feedback from very large enterprise accounts.
Good.
And so, you know, like working on that. And at some point, just like any other service, right, we're going to get to a stage where we believe we have the critical functionality that we need, price performance, you know, competitiveness, just all up from an ecosystem standpoint. And then we go GA.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. All right. So that I love that because you know it supports the whole OSS community. Unless you've headed in, like we've said before, unless you've had your head in the sand for the last 12, 18,
exactly.
24 months, you know we're very serious about supporting the OSS community, right? And we see that. We see that. All right. Let's get into some of the other topics. Again, if you have questions, we're here to answer your questions. Throw them out there. Love to answer your questions. But let's talk. SQL 17, because you know we've talked almost at every show about this, but give us an update. What's current status? What's up? And then because we just announced RC1.
Yes.
I'm sure following. If we looked at history, RC2 is just around the corner.
Right. You got it.
And again, feedback. Right.
Yeah. And it is interesting. I think it's this morning actually I was. Reading, Connor, of course, is sort of driving the release and like, being the guy. And I always sort of catch up on his email because he writes really detailed status reports, which is awesome to read. And I think one of the good things is, when we started off 17, and I think we've sort of said this in the past, where it was a pretty daunting challenge. You release SQL 16 and turn around in a year, and then so the same quality, maintaining the performance and scale on a new operating system, our entire engineering system had to evolve. So it's, when I look at the journey the team has gone through and where we are right now from a quality standpoint, it's a super smooth release.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of landing well. Obviously there's it's one of those moments of the, or time frames of the release where there's a lot of anxiety in the system. It's there.
You start getting to RC2 and you're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. You think we're there yet? All the hard questions around like this is. I mean, it's SQL at the end of the day, right?
And we're not just supporting Windows. There's a whole Linux behind that too. So it's just not.
Correct. Right? It's about Linux. It's about making sure that the value prop shines.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, it's truly like we've always said. It's really Linux is just another deployment option. If you're a Linux admin using Linux, worked with Linux, for you, it just needs to feel extremely native.
Yeah.
And I think the team has done. I actually feel really proud of what the team has accomplished, both in terms of performance and scale. But some of the newer innovation, our focus really obviously for the release was, supporting Linux. And not just Linux, but Docker.
Yeah.
And all the other, this whole word on-prem is really a legacy term now. We think about SQL deployments in private clouds.
Yep.
That's where a lot of the big enterprises are going. Either they're sort of thinking about some sort of a cloud option, right?
Yeah.
From an app model and business model standpoint, it's either they do it in their own environments, some hoster, or they come to Azure. So there was a lot of focus just around the deployment, making SQL Server available through all these channels, and Linux and Docker being one of them. I mean, the adoption has been pretty amazing. Then some of the cool new innovation that's come out too. I mean, I feel excited about this, native integration of Python that we've done that enables you to run like deep learning libraries natively on GPUs or graph support. I mean, there's been like really good feedback around that with some of our largest customers, right? I think.
Yeah.
And some of the cool innovation on the query process around adaptive query processing. Like the work we're doing to sort of take the work on QDS forward with automatic plan correction, regression of plans correction, right? And
It was interesting because we saw the blog post about RC1 and like just in RC1, there was, hey, new stuff in RC1, boom, 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 boom. And it was like a list of six or seven things. And now we're like, okay, what's RC2 going to bring? So that excitement, not to put any pressure on anybody, but just the excitement around what's coming and what you guys are doing and, kind of a great segue into our next topic, which is, let's talk about kind of the, the built-in AI capabilities, right? Because this, as we go and we introduced Python, the CI/CD and things like that, right? What is this enabling for our customers? Right?
I'll give you, it's really interesting, right? So fundamentally, I think during the SQL 16 development cycle, we sort of looked at extensibility as being a very key play.
Yeah.
We built the extensibility architecture. Of course, we had R as the language that was the first one that we went after, just given the popularity of the data scientists. But really the play is, you have lots of very high value data that's stored in databases.
Yep.
How do you enable developers to extract, how do you create an ecosystem where if I'm a developer using R, Python, maybe Java, any language, I can create value without sacrificing compliance, security, which is important. That's really the thought process, right? We want to create an ecosystem for developers which is very powerful with on the data that's stored in SQL. Now, we did R, and then, you know, Python essentially proves the extensibility architecture, where it wasn't just about a single language. And we were able to turn around and do this in a very short time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't like a huge effort.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it was a huge effort for the team, but it was like a very, you know,
a few set of folks. Not what you did, but...
No, I mean, I think it's amazing to see how we were able to do this in such a short time.
In one release, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that I feel, I mean, we don't... You know, SSIS is another great, you know, we're sort of doing this SSIS scale out.
Yep.
That's coming as a part of 17, which I know from like, it's been a long, long standing customer ask because it sort of pushes the bar higher in terms of data integration that you get by default with the SQL Server, you know, package. And it's also, it's interesting testament to the team where it was a fairly late breaking call of going and releasing SSIS on Linux. I mean, when we initially made the plan, it wasn't a part of the plan. And I think this is, again, kudos to the SSIS team for pulling this off.
Well, and this is kind of the feedback. And speaking of that, one of the messages that you continually talk about every show is just taking that feedback that we're and saying, you know, based on our learnings, we can apply this, right? And
right.
it's typically, you know, for the most part, awesome stuff. Is there things where you went, we learned this and didn't turn out that well, so we may change direction a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's lots of stuff, right? One thing where we were pretty, initially when we were thinking about the release, there were a few more features, if you will, where, you know, which in the end didn't land up making the cut. But we were thinking about, you know, like, you know, where do we take, we had ideas around, you know, where to take Polybase or where to take Stretch.
Right.
And they're all good ideas, but that's where the team stepped back and looked at, look, we need a lot more customer evidence before we start deciding where to invest in.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And I think this is where, I mean, there's very strategic investments for us, right? But so there were, these ideas came up, and then when we went and spoke to customers, it was like, look, we don't really know if that's what we want. I mean, we're still trying things out, right? And so as a principle, we stepped back and said, look, let's not just assume that we know what customers want,
right.
going back to what you said.
Yeah.
So the areas where, you know, in the subsequent releases that we do, you will see a lot more investment come in. You'll see this, you know, in the cloud-first style.
Right.
But that's where I'd say where we had proposals, and then we went back, spoke to the customers, and then we realized that we'd really not... that
Maybe
it's
we
not,
need to wait a little bit on...
Yeah. Because, I mean, some of these things, you know, they take a while to get adopted.
Yep.
And so instead of just going and doing more and more stuff, it's good to wait it out, listen, and really...
Yeah. Some things are like, you know, the adoption is very quickly, and some are like, you know, again, that...
Correct.
Step toe in a little bit. And
absolutely.
Go,
right. Absolutely.
And I can imagine Stretch database and some of those are...
Yeah, I mean, there are customers using it who love the promise. I mean, you know, there's obviously some feedback around just the business model of it and how we're thinking. You know, obviously, this feedback we're taking in. But those are very strategic bets for us, right? Because, I mean, ultimately, when you think about the true hybrid play as more and more enterprises start embracing the public cloud, which we see happen, the same thing around data virtualization with Polybase. So.
Yep. Let's get to SQL Data Warehouse for a second. But I got one more question because we talk about this built-in AI, and we're we talked Polybase and now Java or sorry
Graph
Python and you know, this kind of what is Michael tried to ask this. Are we delivering a product where it says we're going to play kind of like the OSS kind of area where we're like SQL Server one-stop shop for almost any type of data, whether it's internal or external or
absolutely.
Microsoft?
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of when you think about data management and insights and the value that you want to get out of, we are positioning SQL Server as the one-stop shop. I mean, it's again, this is not new. This has sort of been the case for in the past several releases. Now, that doesn't mean that all the data gets stored and managed by SQL.
Right.
Right. And this
Could
is
they have it in Hadoop or Azure
Absolutely.
Blob Storage or things like
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Right?
Right.
I think the question essentially is, and this is where the data virtualization piece is very powerful. Where, you know, like as working towards getting everything into a single store is just not practical given the volumes of data and physics.
Different types of data everywhere.
Different types of data. I mean, it's just the physics of how quickly things can move.
Yep.
But what's obviously very important is, I want single set, like when I sort of go work with my Power BI, or if I work with whatever tools, or if I want to do some analytic queries, which is joining the data that I have in Hadoop with the CRM data that I've stored inside SQL Server, we absolutely are going to invest to make that very easy.
Okay, that's cool. Because I think, you know, as we start implementing this, people are, you know, a lot of people are kind of, what's next, and how do I think about this, and what's, you know, a lot of it is, or maybe some of it is, okay, what's my learning path down for this? And if we're targeting, you know, like Python, well, you know, how many T-SQL, you know, do T-SQL people understand Python?
Or, right.
And are we going to make it easy for them to get to those?
I think, yeah, and for them, essentially, it's, you know, there's a data scientist community, which is how do you get them to work with the data that's stored in SQL very easily without having to, you know, how they can, like, train their algorithms, et cetera, if you will, and operationalize them for scoring inside the database without having to move the data around, which is what makes it very hard. And then there is the data developers, people who use, you know, your regular T-SQL or .NET developers or any other language, Java, et cetera, who don't really understand. They know that they need to do fraud detection or they need to do some sort of predictive analysis. Okay. They know they can just pick this algorithm up, but they don't really understand it. They can just embed that right into this procedure. Okay, so we've thought about both the personas.
How to make it easy, you know, and I think that's the goal. How do we make it easy for anybody, almost anybody, to start getting to that data wherever it sits?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, so let's go to SQL data warehouse. This is a hot topic anytime we talk about it. Because it's just like they think going gangbusters, right?
Yeah.
What's going on, or what's new, and what you know, what's new and what's going on?
I mean, it is. I mean, this is I think one of the fastest growing data services we have in Azure. It's I mean the value prop is just so amazing. I mean, frankly, I just think this is one of the places where I actually feel very good about you know how we've differentiated ourselves.
Yep.
You know the fact that we really looked at the customer requirements, right? Where, you know, if you had to like. Use the data warehouse, you know, for a brief period of time at pretty high, you know, compute intensive, you know, queries, and then you don't use it anymore, so shut it down or scale that back down for lower, right? So this is truly designed from the cloud, you know, the elastic architecture design point of view with the separation of compute and storage, and so that part has resonated very well. You know, the focus right now, which we sort of announced at Inspire, I think we are about to preview it shortly. Is really about how do I get those benefits, but then as I think about going from tens of terabytes to hundreds of terabytes to petabytes and being able to do interactive query across all these, right? You need to start thinking obviously in terms of, and as a very standard things, tiered storage.
Yep.
Right. So what the team has worked on over the last several months is really, you know, we internally call this Project Pesto. It's effectively a tiered cache, so all the column segments, all the hot column segments, we sort of store them locally on SSDs and then replicate them within the cluster. So even if nodes go up and down, you don't really have to page on to the remote storage to get it. And there's very sophisticated, you know, algorithms that the team is working on to ensure what segments to cache. And this is where, you know, as we go through preview and learn, we are seeing substantial improvements in price perf.
Okay.
Right. So this was like, you know, going in, our value prop is very solid. And by the way, we're doing all of this without sacrificing, you know, the elasticity. So it's not like, you know, like some of our competition
it's
has like,
right?
It's like a physical cluster where if I want to size up and size down, it takes several days. No, we're going to maintain the value prop that we have. While enabling a lot better price growth. So I'm actually very excited. This is another area where I think super cool technical innovation that's gone in, several months of hard work. You can imagine, right, anytime you tinker around with the storage layer of any sort of database.
Yeah, everybody starts panicking. And,
So, you know, the team's sort of going through that, so I mean, that part I feel pretty good about. And then, you know, there's lots of being like focus on reliability, just getting the availability up. There's a huge focus on that. And then even like, you know, smaller improvements when you think about, right, connecting with ADLS and, you know, encryption at rest has sort of come up, which is, you know, so there's lots of like little improvements that keep trickling in.
Okay.
And I try to, you know, I'm sure through SQL Server and through Azure, we try to tweet about this. I try to tweet about that from my account as well, so.
Cool. Is there anything, any learnings that we're taking, that you're taking from the SQL DW area and going, man, we might want to think about applying that to like maybe SQL DB or some of the other?
Yeah, you know, there is, look, I think one of the things that
I don't know if I've asked that before.
No, I think it's a good question. One of the things we look at is, I mean, SQL DB is SQL Server, right? I mean, it's the same engine.
Right.
And so there is, so if you take a look at a P15, you know, SQL Server database, or SQL DB database with 4 terabytes you can store, that's a pretty big size box, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can use column store to run warehousing queries. So one of the things we're looking at, like, you know, at some point, you know, the MPP architecture starts to shine based on certain data volumes and kind of complex queries that you run. But if you look at very, very small data volumes, then, you know, the architecture actually comes in the way. Now you're shuffling a lot of data when you don't need to. So that's one of the things we're looking at is how do you provide a seamless experience around, you know, DB and DW for warehousing. So that's an area. I mean, you know, obviously we keep working on making, you know, the front end of SQL DW as close to SQL Server as possible.
Okay.
So that's, yeah.
Awesome. All right, and then let's wrap up with one other topic. One of the things that was announced, I think, at
DataAmp, right?
Was it DataAmp? DataAmp was the ability, a managed instance, right? And the database migration service.
Correct.
Right. Let's first define, you know, what is the managed instance? I don't know, you know, I'm sure most people know, but what is the managed instance, and then how does that play with the migration service?
Yeah, so again, sort of stepping back a little bit, I think, so, you know, again, SQL DBs itself, you know, especially for, you know, existing SQL Server customers, ISVs are looking at their SaaS
yeah.
apps. It's been an amazing platform. We have so many examples of customers who are, you know, the service is growing really well. But one of the things we kept hearing where, you know, like, when you think about the value prop of SQL DB, the fact that, you know, a lot of the performance tuning is taken care of for you, or
yeah.
security issues are, you know, with the whole threat detection, a lot of the intelligence that we've built into the platform essentially helps take care of a lot of things that, you know, when you look at every large enterprise, they're these tier three, tier four, tier five
yeah.
kind of applications, which are like thousands and thousands of databases, and they're always running behind on like patching them or best
yeah.
practices around performance, security, et cetera, right? The conversation that, you know, that I have and several of us as we do EBCs is that's really the target, right? Where they look, if the cloud can essentially remove this headache of mine where, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I really cannot employ people to go do all of this stuff. It's just not cost effective.
Yeah.
Just given, I mean, these are important tactical applications, but I just can't afford to like employ people to sort of take care of it,
yeah.
right? So those are the ones where we're seeing mass, you know, migrations where, you know, where customers are looking at that. The only thing they say is, well, I'd love to do that, but I don't want to change my code because these are not
yeah.
apps I want to invest in. These are
yeah.
important for me right now. But, and by the way, just make it super turnkey because I'm not going to invest
right.
in test infrastructure and all that, right? So we've thought about the problem from an end-to-end standpoint, right? Like product truth, like how do we build a migration service that automates, I mean, look, migrations is a very complex topic. So you cannot 100% automate everything.
Right.
right, but to the extent possible, what can we templatize, and you know, what can we make so it makes it a lot easier for the customers
yeah.
to do it? And then managed instance is really, think of it as another deployment option in SQL DB, which essentially allows you to makes it the app model be very similar to what is on-prem with an instance, not a database.
Okay,
right. So things like SQL agent, you know, like multiple cross-database queries, a bunch of things that doesn't really work with SQL DB and Elastic Pools and Singletons, because that's sort of also designed for the newer apps.
Yeah.
You know, all those friction points go away.
Okay.
So that's and then there's more news coming along that where I don't want to share that right now, which I think is going to be very, very exciting for existing SQL Server customers and customers who are not that happy, let's say, with some of our competitors like Oracle.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Do we see this as a, because you mentioned kind of the SQL DB is a, I don't want to call it net new, as a born in the cloud type of, right? But I've got, like you said, I've got these, you know, maybe, you know, two-tier, three-tier databases I can't
Correct.
Manage. But I want the benefits of Azure, right?
Yes.
Is this where we see kind
Absolutely.
Of the managed
You got
going?
It. This is really about, at the end of the day, this is just about peace of mind and cost effectiveness, TCO. Because,
yep.
you know, once all these databases come in, we guarantee you that even like all the way from SQL Server 2008
yeah.
onwards, you can just migrate them to, you know, the managed instance option that we have.
Yep.
And then all the other benefits of PaaS around high availability, you know, auto-tuning of your performance queries,
yeah.
threat detection, a lot of these things which you're worried about,
yeah.
right? Oh, like, man, this is, it's a tactical but an important database and I can't afford to like hire people to maintain it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the target right
okay.
now. And then, you know, we learn from this and obviously as more and more, as the migrations or the modernization of the applications moves
yeah.
more towards tier two, tier one, we'll be ready for it.
So I think the message is stay tuned for a lot more about this.
Absolutely,
and a lot more
stay tuned for that.
So let me wrap up with one last question. Because this is SQL Unplugged, this is about kind of getting, what's Rohan and the team thinking, right? So without, I guess, getting into too much detail,
mm-hmm.
And FY18, you know, our fiscal year 18 just starting. Kind of, what's the SQL engineering team thinking as far as plans for FY18? What can we expect? Exciting things that you guys are thinking of at the back of your mind, trickling back here, going, "Oh, this would be awesome to do."
You know, there is a lot. I mean, there's a ton of excitement around. You know, like there's lots of exciting cool stuff just across the portfolio that we have, right? You know, in what's called the database systems team. You know, super excited about, like, you know, there's some patterns work that we're doing
yep.
just in terms of looking at, you know, as we're working with some of our largest customers who are migrating their analytics workload to the cloud, you know, how is that looking like?
Yeah.
You know, like the whole big data play, where we very strongly believe that SQL has a lot of value to add.
Yeah, and that's interesting, and because when you think about SQL, and this I think goes to my earlier question, a lot of people don't attribute, you know, don't think about SQL Server and big data.
Correct.
In the same.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that and that we believe is a missed opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Which is, at the end of the day, if you take a look at a lot of these data lake vendors,
yeah,
right, they're trying to push towards the value comes through analytics.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we shine. So, you know, without giving away too much, because these are still discussions,
right,
you know, like the how SQL Server can add a lot more value to the data lake and the big data ecosystem is a huge area we're looking at.
Okay, awesome. All right, so that means stay tuned. a lot more information to come in the coming episodes. But Rohan, thank you. We either did a fantastic job or nobody's watching, because we didn't get any questions. And hopefully it's the previous, not the latter, because we just had an awesome episode. So Rohan, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next month. Thanks for watching.